So with that, and we are coming to the conclusion of our study. We have this week and we have next week, and we will just be wrapping up chapter 4 next week. And we've got a lot of heavy stuff. We're going to be talking about worry and contentment. Woo! Both areas that are probably the biggest struggle in my own spiritual walk, personally, is worry and contentment. And so we get to wrap up with that. But what I love about God's word, and what I love about how the Lord used Paul in his writings, is that anytime a command is given, an antidote is given on how to obey that command. We're not just told to do, we're told how we can do it. And then we're also always given the result of being faithful and obedient for doing what God's word says. And those results are in here, and they work. And that is what is so beautiful about these writings, and so beautiful about God's word. So he tells us what to do, he tells us how to do it, and he tells us what the results will be. And the results are fantastic. Now, somewhere here I have notes. Aha. Those would be helpful. So, chapter 4, verse 1. Now, as we've studied through the book of Philippians, we have observed, and I have not taught through the whole thing, and we've had various teachers and some great insight, and I've learned a lot, but because we have different people teach, I haven't been able to continue with the theme that I had the last time I taught through this book. But if you take apart the book of Philippians, you will see in the book, in each chapter, you will see four things that rob us of our joy. And most of you know by now that the book of Philippians, the theme here is joy. But in each chapter, we see one thing that robs us of our joy. And in chapter 1, we see that first thing is circumstances. And the circumstance in chapter 1 was Paul was in prison. So prison, or what was going on in Paul's life, or what goes on in our own life, our own circumstances, has a tendency to rob us of our joy. Now in chapter 2, we saw that people, it tells us to do everything without disputing, without complaining, without arguing. People can rob us of our joy. I know many of you probably don't experience this joy robber, but people can rob us of our joy. Now, in chapter 3, we see that things can rob us of our joy. And Paul gave his big, fancy, shiny resume of all the things that he had accomplished and done and how it was absolutely rubbish. But those things that we think, those fleshly things, we think they bring us joy, but they really don't. They rob us of joy. And today we're going to see that the final thing that robs us of our joy, and for me personally, the greatest thing that robs me of my joy, is worry. But in each chapter, and this is what's so beautiful, we see that we have an antidote, that there was a joy producer for each one of these joy robbers. And in chapter 1, we saw that the joy producer was having a single mind. We saw in verse 21 of chapter 1, when Paul says, "For me to live is Christ, and to die and go and be with Christ is gain." And so he had a singly focused mind, and it was a single mind focused on Christ. And then the second one we saw in chapter 2 was a submissive mind, that we can find joy in having a mind like Christ. And we saw that Christ was the perfect example of submission as he emptied himself of absolutely everything so that he could come and that he could die for us. He had a submissive mind, and we too need to have that submissive mind. And that is how we can find joy in the midst of the robber that in chapter 2 we saw was people. In chapter 3, we saw that a heavenly mind is the mind that we need to have to produce joy. In verse 20 of chapter 3, it tells us that our citizenship is in heaven. And so our mind needs to be set and focused on the things that are to come, on eternity. And then today we are going to see that having a secure mind and bringing all three of these mindsets together, or what is going to produce joy and what is going to be the antidote for people and things and circumstances and worry. So let's start in verse 1. "Therefore, my beloved and longed for brethren, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, beloved. I implore Euodia and I implore Syntyche to be of the same mind in the Lord, and I urge you also to companion. Help these women who labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are in the book of life. Now, it is believed that these two women were in disagreement. I love how not one of them was called out, that one was causing the disputes, or one was in sin. It's just that these two women were in some sort of disagreement, but Paul wants them to be like-minded. Now, we see the word mind many times in the book of Philippians, but in order to be like-minded, we have to together be singly minded. We have to have a submissive mind. We have to have a heavenly mind. And we're going to see later today that our mind needs to be secure. And we need to do that together. And when we all have that mind, we are like-minded. Paul had exhorted in chapter 2, verse 14, to do all things without complaining and disputing. So he's coming back to what he's already commanded and what he's already exhorted them in. And he says, help these ladies to be like-minded. The situation between these women reminds us that people can so easily rob us of our joy. Have you ever been in an argument or a dispute with somebody or just simply out of sorts? It's hard to be joyful. It really is. But when we have the mind of Christ, when our mind is set on Christ, and when our mind is set on being with Christ, we are like-minded. And these disputes and arguments just seem petty. They really do. We need to have the same mind in the body of Christ. In the Greek, the word mind is phroneo. It means to think. It means to be minded in a certain way. It is used 8 times in this book with the word mind. It's used 3 or 4 other times with words like let and know. But it's used 8 times. Paul uses it 8 times just with the word mind. But to be minded in a certain way, in that certain way, is to have a submissive mind, a single-focused mind, a heavenly mind, and a secure mind. So let's help each other. Let's come alongside of each other and help each other have this certain type of mind. It goes on in verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Now, Paul's joy wasn't based in a sunny optimism or a positive mental attitude. It wasn't because he just read some great self-help book or he attended a seminar on positive thinking and how to be happy all the time. That wasn't it at all. His joy was simply in the confidence that God was in control. His joy was because he had the right mind. It was truly, truly joy in the Lord. Let your gentleness, verse 5, be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. We are at the scripture in God's word that I rely upon the most. And I don't know about you, but I rely upon this verse the most. I put this verse into practice the most of all the verses. I encourage women with this verse more than any other verse in God's word. And sometimes I feel so rote when I go, oh, Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 and 7, memorize it, but memorize it. Know this verse, ladies. You know this verse. If you do not struggle with worry, talk to me afterwards. If you don't, I want to know how, I want to know why. Well, because we're not supposed to, but we just do, don't we? Don't we just worry? This is the final joy robber that Paul is addressing, is worry. And I am the poster child for worry. I really am. I'm worry girl. I am able to reach the worst possible conclusion in a single thought. I am. But what does it tell us here? It says, be anxious for what? Nothing. No thing. Be anxious for no thing. I don't need to elaborate on this. We're to be anxious for nothing. We are to worry about nothing. But I get a thought in my head and I run it all the way over here and it ends in death every time. Every time. I get anxious about my health. Every ache or pain is a malignant tumor. I get anxious about the safety and health of my children. If they don't text me in 10 minutes, they're dead. If they complain about an ache in their left knee, it's a malignant tumor. I get anxious about money. Right now, we're anxious about how we're going to pay for college. We have a senior in high school. How are we going to pay for this? What are we going to do in an emergency? We haven't prepped enough. We don't have enough canned goods or water in the basement. I worry about my parents. They're getting older. They're getting slower. I worry about my siblings. I worry about all of you. I worry. And then we as women, we worry about things that we shouldn't be worrying about. What did she mean when she said that? Is she mad at me? Nobody noticed my new haircut. Why? Did I not have enough taken off? Did I not do the color right? We just worry about, we worry about silly things, but we do. I worry about these things. You know, she looked at me real quick and she glanced away. I think she's mad. Did you know that worry causes stress? Stress causes anxiety. Stress causes insomnia. It causes headaches. It causes backaches. It causes digestive problems. It causes ulcers. Stress causes colds. It diminishes the immune system. It makes the body more prone to infection and viruses. It can affect the heart. It can cause cancer. I'm so worried about worrying. Because it is a malignant tumor. But it does. It affects our thinking. I mean, studies show this. It affects our coordination. I mean, that explains everything. I handed my phone to Frank because I needed the Wi-Fi so that I can change the slides with my phone. And I said, I know Dave and John are having trouble with their iPhone 7s. He goes, well, this isn't a 7. I go, well, yes, it is. I just happened to have already cracked it. Because I'm not coordinated. And now science tells me it's because I worry. But do you know what the Bible says about worry? You do, because you did your homework, correct? Yes. It says do not worry because what? It causes harm. It hurts you. You know this one too, because it was in your homework. I already did that one. Anxiety in the heart of man causes depression. Did you know that? That anxiety leads to depression? Do you know how many Americans are chronically depressed? Do you know how many Americans are on medication for depression? Do you know that God's word tells us where it starts from? It starts with anxiety. And then Philippians tells us to be anxious for nothing. I should be a doctor. How can I not worry? There's so much to worry about. I mean, there just is. There's so much to worry about. But worry is wrong thinking. We have to understand this. When you worry, you are thinking wrong. Worry is wrong thinking. And it is the biggest joy robber that I have ever experienced. Be anxious for nothing, but, there's the big but there, but in everything. So in everything that causes worry, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Here's the answer. Here's the antidote to how we stop worrying. It's right here, and it's very, very simple. And I can tell you of 100 times where I was in a situation that really did prompt worry and was worrisome, and I forgot to apply this verse. And guess what? It caused digestive distress. And many, many other things. But this is the answer. It's simple. We pray. So how do we not worry? Well, we're probably going to get to the place where worry enters our mind, but immediately we stop and we pray. It's simple, but it's difficult. But we can find joy in the midst of worry by having a secure mind, and we do this by praying. Simply by praying. So instead of wrong thinking, we pray. We pray. So when we're faced with a terrifying situation, or your mind just wanders to the what ifs and therefore leads to worry, we stop and we pray. And we do this in three ways. First, we pray. We let him know what's troubling us. Lord, this is troubling me. I'm worried about this. I don't know why, or here is why. I'm afraid it's going to lead to this. I'm just worried. We saw a few times in our homework that we need to lay our burdens at his feet, that we need to cast our cares upon him. And we do this. This gets your mind off of your worry and it gets it onto the Lord. As soon as you start communicating with the Lord, you're acknowledging that there is a Lord. And then next, it says, pray by prayer and supplication. And supplication is a specific request to God. So if you're waiting on some results from some medical test, and you're anxious about that because it doesn't look good, or you can feel something that makes you think that there's something there, you're going to make the specific request, the supplication to God, whatever it is that's troubling you. Lord, I'm worried. I lay this at your feet, and this is what I'm worried. Heal me from this. Please, Lord, heal me. And then, after prayer and supplication, we offer thanksgiving. And this is the key. Ladies, this is the key. We pray, we make our requests known, and then what do? We get our eyes and our thoughts off of ourselves and our circumstances and solely on Him. And we do that by showing our gratitude towards Him. It's not going to come naturally if you're in a state of worry. Oh my goodness, I think I have a malignant tumor right here. I'm going to be thankful. I mean, that's just not our natural way of responding to things, but we have to learn to do it. We have to know this first. Learn it now when you're not worrying. Memorize it now when you're not worrying. We're to pray with thanksgiving. And even if you can't be thankful for your circumstances, thank Him for all He's done. Thank Him for who He is. Thank Him for the work on the cross. Thank you that He has promised that He will never leave you or forsake you. Thank Him that He is the God who heals. He's the God who sees. And He's a sovereign God who knows exactly what's going on. And with that heavenly mindset, thank Him that you have eternity with Him, and no matter what happens here on earth, it's going to feel like a shot in the arm when we get to be with Him for all eternity. Thank Him for that. And what happens when we're thankful? We truly can clearly see who God is and what He can do for us. And our eyes are off of ourselves, they're off of our circumstances. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 20, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Thessalonians 5:16 and 18, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. You know, worry is always about something we don't know the outcome of. Worry almost always originates in our mind and in our thoughts. But it's through thanksgiving that we come to a place where we can trust the Lord. We can let go of those thoughts. We can let go of those what-ifs. We can let go of coming to the consequence and the end of what we think that it might be. And we can just yield and we can trust the Lord. Say it with me. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. It tells us in 1 John 4:17 that there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. So when you're worried, you are not filled with the Holy Spirit. You are not filled with that perfect love that is available to you. There's no fear in love. Perfect love casts out fear. And look in verse 7. So we have the command, be anxious for what? Nothing. We have what we need to do in everything by prayer and supplication. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And in verse 7, we have the result. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and mind through Christ Jesus. Not just a command, not just a what to do, but a promise. When we don't worry, or when we start to worry and we stop and we pray, and we make those specific requests known to the Lord, and we thank Him, there's a promise. God's peace that passes all understanding. So passes mean is superior to. God's peace is superior to anything that you might be thinking of or worried about. Anything. It surpasses man's understanding, and it's God's peace that we want. We should crave this and desire it, but we will achieve it when we worry about nothing and we pray and we supplicate and we are thankful. It will guard our mind and our hearts. And the word guard here is phoreto. I forgot to listen to how it's pronounced. Something like that. But it means to guard or protect by a military guard, either to prevent hostile invasion or to keep the inhabitants of a besieged city from flight. I love this. I picture my God as I stop worrying and I'm obedient and I obey His word and I pray and I make my requests known and I'm thankful and I surrender to Him and I put my trust in Him. He's going to put a fortress around. He's going to put soldiers and armed guards and weapons around my mind and heart. That's powerful. That's beautiful. And His peace, which surpasses all understanding, is that fortress. And that brings us to a secure mind. And that is the antidote to worry. If worry is wrong thinking, then verse 8 teaches us right thinking. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. Not on the malignant tumor, not on the fact that your son not texting you back means that he's in a ditch and something's wrong, not in that your friend is angry with you, not in anything. Meditate on these things. Whatever is true, what is true? God's word is true. Meditate on his word. Whatever is noble, these are things that are honest. Whatever is just, things that are just or righteous and approved by God. Whatever is pure, this is of high moral character. Things that are pure are things that are holy. Whatever is lovely, think of things which are beautiful and admirable. What is of good report, these are things that are fair. What is of virtue or moral excellence, and what is praiseworthy, something that is to be commended. This is what we fix our minds on. This is right thinking. This is a secure mind. And what are all these things? It's Jesus. And it's his word. And that is what we fix our mind on. We meditate on these things. So a mind that is singly focused on Christ and not on circumstances. A mind that is submissive and like the mind of Christ and isn't focused on the negative aspects of people, and a mind that is situated in heaven and not on worldly things, that mindset is going to think on what we see in verse 8. It is going to think on the things that are true and noble and lovely and of good report. Worries, circumstances, problem with people, things, lies, immorality, these are not true, they're not noble, they're not pure, they're not lovely. Do not fixate your mind on these things. But to have a secure mind takes discipline. It does. And I've been in a couple situations where they were very worrisome. I remember losing my son at the outlet mall, and he left to go to the bathroom. He was 10. He was on his Heelys. Do you remember those? With their little wheels and their shoes that pop in and out. And he guaranteed to me that he knew exactly where he was going. And I said, you're going to the bathroom right there. And so I got done checking out, and he didn't come back. And so Janie and I went to go look for him. I was with a friend of mine, and he was gone. And so we started looking in all the other bathrooms at the outlet mall, and he was gone. And I looked at my friend, who was a friend of my mother's, so you'd think she'd have all this wisdom, and she'd be there just to support and encourage me. And I looked at her, and I go, Judy, she was our speaker last year at the Christmas dinner. I go, Judy, he's gone. And she said, I know. And so I called 911. And during that whole time, I didn't pray. I never once prayed. I let worry consume me. I had digestive distress. I was probably completely uncoordinated. I was rude to the woman on the phone. I mean, it was just, and I didn't pray. I didn't have the discipline at that time to stop immediately before the worry crept in and say, okay, I need to pray for my son. And I need to be thankful for whatever it is I can think to be thankful of so that I can allow God to do what he's going to do here. My son was fine. He was absolutely fine, but I failed to have the discipline of a secure mind at that time. But I remember a couple years ago, it was 2013, it was the week of the Christmas dinner, which was an incredibly busy time. And we were also planning my daughter's wedding. She was getting married in a month. We had recently returned home from Israel, and I was still dealing with jet lag. And we were remodeling a rental property that we had. And so I was in the middle of painting, and I needed to get to Home Depot and get stuff. And I was at home, and I was exhausted. Like, my body was tired. My hands were tired. We've been painting and ripping things out. But it was like Tuesday, and the dinner was on Thursday. And I get a call that they needed help to come down. And I started to drive down. And for the first time in my life, all these things are going through my head. Now, what good does it do to think of all of these things when you can't do any of them? I'm driving my car. And this time, oh, and I started to have a physical response to my anxiety. And I don't know if some of you experience panic attacks or whatever. I started to have a physical attack. My heart started to race. My head started to spin. I didn't think I should be driving. I thought, I'm going to have to go home and get in bed. This is awful. And this verse came to mind. And I thought, okay, I have to pray. have to make my request known, and I need to be thankful. And I did those things, and then I started singing praise songs. And by the time I got to the church, nothing mattered. We fixed the problem. I went to the condo. I did some painting, and it was all good. But to have a secure mind takes discipline. We have to remember these verses, and we need to put them in place. And in 2 Corinthians 10:5, it says to bring every thought into captivity. We have to be ready to do that before the thoughts are all awry. We do. Ephesians 4:23 says to be renewed in the spirit of your mind. This is something that we have to be active in doing. And we do that by setting our minds on the things that we see in verse 8. And then we saw last week that we forget the things which are behind. So oftentimes we worry about things that have already happened, thinking they're going to happen again. We forget those things. And we put our eyes on the prize. And we be thankful for that. And we are transformed by the renewing of our mind. And renew your mind through prayer and supplication and thanksgiving and meditating on the things which are lovely and pure, that are holy and true. Memorize verse 8. Did you know that only 8% of the things we worry about are legitimate or come to pass? 92% are illegitimate or never happen. Worrying is nothing but our thoughts. It's just all right here. But is that the mind we're to have? No, we're to have a singly focused mind, a submissive mind, a heavenly mind, and a secure mind. So when worry creeps in, stop, pray, be thankful, and think on the things of verse 8. And the peace of God will guard your heart and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.